Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast, the Wednesday pod. And I'm here, your host, Christian Marchetti, and I'm joined today by Jake Holub. Jake, when was the last time you were on the podcast? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks now. Obviously, shameless plug. I did a Front Page Fantasy not long ago, but yeah, on the main pod, yeah, it's been a bit. So I'm very happy to be back.
On the big time, you're back.
The big boy show. Yes.
The big boys. This is where you really make your money, or actually not make any money. Anyway,
nothing.
All right, and you're in Tasmania. Is that right?
Yes. Tasmanian edition today. I would have been perfect if I could have came on holidays like the exact same time as there's a game on, but unfortunately I couldn't catch any. But maybe in the future, when they hopefully have an A-League Hobart team, that'd be unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it would have to be through that, because I don't think anyone wants to see Western United play in Tasmania again. I think we just want it's tiny now. So
I think we've moved past that point in history, thankfully.
Yeah, it's taken 5 years, but we're finally there. All right. Let's get into we're just gonna have some general chat about some A-League stuff. We'll start with the Mariners City game last night, which was an important game, and was a lot, I think, that we learned probably from both teams, I think, coming out of it, because there was a moment in this game with the Mariners where, and you know, we love the Mariners, me and Jay love the Mariners, we've rated them all season, but there was a moment there where it was kind of like, what's going on? Like, is everything all right? Hey guys, everything all right? You know? And yeah, City were arguably the better team over the 90 minutes. Definitely for, you know, the first 60, they were definitely in the ascendancy. And then basically a brain snap by Vicente Fernandez gives the ball away, pulls down Christian Theoharis. I think you have no complaints really, that's a penalty. And then the Mariners got the equalizer and they got their mojo back kind of after that. And then they, you know, City still had some chances and stuff, but I think it was a bit more even to finish. And because they've got two of the best midfielders in the league who can combine in that fashion at the end, you know, they were able to get the win. And for me, like, you saw the way Theoharis celebrated the penalty when he actually earned it. And you saw the way Jackson celebrated it full time. Like, you could tell there was like this kind of, we needed that about that from the Mariners. Like, they could feel like, you know what, we're not actually playing our best, but if we just get the win, then we can get our mojo back. And even more important, because now they've got this fucking huge game against Wellington on the weekend. So, which, by the way, I think there's a game that's been put on at the same time as it on the schedule. Like, surely, I don't know, you've got to push that back to like a 7 o'clock start, 7:30 local, because that's got to have its own sort of slot. But anyway, general thoughts, Jack, from the game, and maybe also some from the Melbourne City side, because now for them, things are getting kind of squeaky bum in terms of finals. It's not looking good.
Yeah, I thought first up, I think you kind of touched on it. City started very strong. I thought that first half, they were honestly dominant. Like, this looked like a City team we haven't really seen this season. It's like a City team of old playing beautiful football. I think the player that I just couldn't stop raving about during the game was Max Caputo. I thought he was so crucial to the way they were playing.
Hang on a minute. Your captain, we know you're captain of the Mac Grimaldi fan club. Yep.
Yes.
And now I think you're captain of the Max Caputo fan club as well.
I think I'm starting up another fan club, because that was just a top performance. I think it's simply just, like, I thought, like, historically, we've seen Jay McLaren be a good presser, very mobile. I think this season, maybe with injuries, I think it's been lingering in the background. He hasn't done that. And Caputo's really offered that. And there was multiple times, like, I think we were saying during the game, it's probably Brian Kelthak's worst game on the ball. It was really strange. Just Caputo just kept catching him over and over. And one of them obviously led to the opening goal for Arslan, who's also been excellent this season. But I think, honestly, I don't necessarily say it was City falling off. I just think they didn't finish their chances. Marin Yakulis had a sitter that he missed. And I think it was really interesting. I really want more coaches to do it. At the end of the game, Mark Jackson talked about sort of his thinking and his tweaks that he did. Obviously, we saw that first sort of opening stage of the game. He sort of played that five at the back sort of system, 5-4-1, wherever you look at it. And they probably just struggled to maintain possession and build up through City's press. So he changed to the 4-4-2, made the triple sub at half time, and I think it completely changed the game for them. I think it was a more familiar system for them, able to maintain a bit more possession. Because I thought heading into it, I looked at the sort of the way they were setting up, and I was interested because it did look a little bit negative in a sense. Because I expected Mariners to really go for this. Obviously, this is probably their last sort of.
Well, if they're in control of the game, then really it's a 3-4-3 and it's pretty progressive. But when they get on the back foot like that, they get yeah they
It's
can
a
get
fight
kind
at the
of
back,
struggling and kind of camped in their own half. The thing for me, which is positive out of that going to the two strikers was, and being able to build out with four was, I said on Monday after the Sydney game, and we've seen them twice get bulldozed by Sydney's press, and I felt. Probably City looked at it and thought, well, if we can press with near the same intensity, we can't match that City intensity. I don't think any team can. But if we can press close to that and win the ball high a few times, we can get these guys in an uncomfortable situation because they do seem to have some issues playing out of high press. But I kind of said on Monday, I think they need some kind of plan B for when that happens. And it looks like they might have found that, with this kind of two striker system. So that was, I think that was good because, we talk a lot about you got a way of playing, you want to play a certain style, but in certain moments, and particularly when you're now getting to the business end of the season and you're going for first and finals will be coming up, like you kind of got to have a curveball, which is the word I used on Monday. Just something different that you can throw out in a game for a team to deal with. And yeah, credit to the Mariners, they did. And for City, is it too strong to call that a bottle job? Because I mean, like that game was there for the taking. Like they got the goal through Arsenal, and it came from Caputo winning the ball back and kind of what they were planning to do all game. And then I honestly felt like they were going to kick on with it. And then, like it's just a mistake within 5 minutes. Like that's uncharacteristic of Melbourne City. Like when they usually get ahead, they're going to kick on with it. They're going to go on with it. And for me, I'm looking at them and thinking, like, okay, yeah, Lecky came on, Tilio came back. Like, but it's like, we've got four games left. How it's just, I know, like, oh, we need all these guys fit, but it's like, yeah, I know, but we don't have like 10 games left. We've got four. Like, they got to be fit now and they got to be ready now. So, yeah. And then, like, I love how now it's just like Caputo's just like, he's just definitively the number one at the moment. Like, it's just not, it's a very, strange dynamic, I guess. I might talk about all this stuff a bit more on Friday. But yeah, it's they're not in a good spot. They're just not in a good spot. And they've got we released an article today about their off season. And they've got a lot of things to think about for sure. And the other thing is that the Wanderers just above them have suddenly, I don't think they're playing great, but have suddenly just found a couple of results. So that doesn't help either. And their run home, you've got the Derby, obviously this week, which is massive. And oh, that's why. Okay, so that's the later game on Saturday, and then you've got that Mariners Wellington game before. Yeah, okay, that's come on, man. Like the Mariners Wellington game is ugly.
It's just going to be a great day of football, honestly. Like that first, essentially, maybe even a grand final preview there, and then you got the Melbourne Derby, which is always going to be great. But I'm looking ahead at the. It's probably going to be the game that ultimately decides who gets that
That
final spot.
Wanderers City game.
The Wanderers City game, but it is at Western Sydney's home ground, so that's going to be very tough. I think it's honestly all on that, like. Any hopes they have left, obviously 4 points behind Western Sydney right now, who are starting to pick up form a little bit. It's possible. It definitely is possible. I think, looking at that squad, I think, people talking about the four subs they got to bring on, it's unbelievable. Lecky, Tilio, Dzeko, McLaren, that's four Socceroos there. Unbelievable. But I think it's ultimately just going to be pinned on that game. So that's going to be one to really watch. And then even, because you do expect them to probably beat, Perth at home and West United, but you never know, I guess, with this Melbourne side. I'm saying you
Yeah, I mean,
expect it, but we haven't seen it this season.
so basically, three of their four games, I would say they're probably favourites in, to be fair, because I think even Wanderers away, I mean, at the end of the day, they did just beat them 7-0. So, like, I think you can still give them the favourites tag there. The Wanderers have a harder run home, because they've got to go to, they've got the derby and they've got Melbourne Victory away to finish. So they've got the advantage maybe in terms of schedule. But, and that, you know, like they are playing better. City, the last few games do look a lot more like City. But what's weird is like with all their quality, you'd still expect them to make their dominance count. Like it shouldn't be, they shouldn't have these performances, in my opinion, where they're dominant, but they're not taking their chances, which was the same against Newcastle at the weekend. So, you know, like when you've got star quality, that's the whole reason why you have stars, so that you don't have those games like, you know, like Newcastle have or Adelaide United have and stuff where they're on top, but they can't really make the most of it. So, yeah, they've got a lot of work to do. They've now got to, they've definitely got to rely on a result like Sydney FC is going to have to do them, you know, a favour probably in the derby next week. Brisbane, even like, you know, to be fair, we talk about City being inconsistent, but the Wanderers, like, you know, there's probably a high chance that they just like bottle it against Brisbane at home this weekend, right? On Friday, like that wouldn't surprise me either. So yeah, I wouldn't say that's over, but it definitely seems like we're transitioning into, it's a straight shootout for six basically between the Wanderers and City. And I think the only thing is, you know, do MacArthur have to look over the shoulder a little bit? Maybe. I still think they'll be fine, but you know, it's getting a little bit hairy maybe. And then we obviously got Sydney and Perth playing tonight, so we'll see how that goes. No guarantees Sydney are going to win that game, because they've got, you know, we know how they press and stuff, and then you got the travel, you got to manage the team, so are they going to be able to play with the same intensity? I'm not too sure, but yeah, massive win for the Mariners. Let's do 5 minutes on Max Ballard, because it's very warranted. So I said, we did a pod like a couple months ago, remember? And we were grading all these players, and I said Max Ballard was ready to move to Europe now. And you, and I think we had Jack on, kind of scoffed slightly at it, but I was like, I'm telling you, man, like he is, you can make a case he's as good as Nisbet, as good.
Like,
I was
expecting that. Holy.
Like I'm there. He is, you know what he is? He is like another Aidan O'Neill type. That would be my kind of comp.
I like that comparison.
You know, I've just realized that we're wearing the same shirt on the podcast. That's absolutely ridiculous. White Tommy Hilfiger shirt. Anyway.
We're looking nice and dapper for the Max Ballard appreciation.
That's right. That's right. But for me, I'll admit that I haven't gone through every single team and done this like a grading or anything, but he has to be like arguably the best six in the league right now. Like I know you got Rufer, I know you got, but his all round game is so good. And for me, if you're as press resistant as he is, like that's the biggest game changer ever. You know, I don't think there's another six in the league that can deal with pressure the way that he does. That game on the Sydney game, there was moments last night where he was, you know, evading the press in certain moments that kind of held the Mariners get out. But even against Sydney, who no one on that Mariners team was dealing with the press well, but there was a couple of times where Ballard was getting pressed up from both sides and he still kind of found a way to get out of it. And he had to hold it a few times because there was nothing really on, and he's like trying to basically play keep ball against three defenders. But no, man, he's brilliant. And I've been watching him closely like the last few weeks, and you can just see the strides that he's taking in his game. And you know, it's very warranted that he gets a 5 minute segment of praise. So what would you like to add to the conversation? I'm captain of his fan club, so there you go.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that title, but I'll give myself credit as I was the one that did bring him up for Socceroos contention not long ago as well, because I thought it did open up for him, and I actually really would have liked to see that, and I think he's proven that right now. And I really, really like that Aidan O'Neill comparison. I really like those defensive midfielders that are just, they have everything in their locker. They're mobile, good under pressure. They can defend. They've just got everything. And, you know, it's probably getting harder and harder to really find those perfect players, I guess, sort of as football progresses. And defensive midfielders need to be really good on the ball nowadays, as well as obviously having that defensive aspect to their game. So, yeah, I think Ballard, you know, we've seen the sort of slow progression from him every single season. He's, you know, went from probably two, three seasons ago, just sort of entering the league. And every season just added a little bit extra to his game. And this season, it's like, yeah, I probably would agree with you. I think at the end of this season, obviously, there's been links. I think of Portimonense in I think Portugal. I think it was
Who they've got the partnership with.
So I think that move, yeah, that could be unbelievable. Yeah, him playing in League of Portugal, as what, an early 20s player. So yeah, I think that's one there. That could be the next Socceroo. But I don't know about same level as Nizzy yet. I don't know. Obviously, they're different players. I'd say Nizzy
They
probably
are, they
has
are.
added a little bit more offensive weaponry to his
Well,
game,
now
I'm sure.
Nisbet has kind of transitioned into playing as a 10. Like,
Yeah.
he's not really, yeah.
Yeah. So it's obviously different players, but yeah. But to be fair, I would say Ballard is probably more of a natural number six, sort of holding midfielder. But I think he can also play as a number eight as well. To be fair, I
Yeah,
think
well,
he's got
let me say this about
that
Ballard.
skill set.
Like, let's be honest here. Look, I like Keanu Backus, nothing against him and stuff like that. But, like, I would play either Aidan O'Neill or Max Ballard as a lone six in the Socceroos midfield over Keanu Backus any day. Like, that's
100%.
yeah, like,
Yeah,
that's the reality.
agreed.
So if you're looking at it like that, but we don't, to be honest with you, I don't think anyone really knows how Graham Arnold sees things on a consistent basis. So, but yeah, I remember you mentioning that about him as a Socceroo potentially. Yeah, so basically, if you're a Socceroos manager, just every window, just have a look at the Mariners midfielders and
You'll find
just
someone.
yeah, you'll probably find someone. So anyway, all right. Some other things that I wanted to talk about away from that. So basically, I'm just gonna throw to you. Like, what have you these last couple of weeks? What are you noticing? What's catching your eye? What's positive, negative, any peculiar takes on what's going on at the moment in the league?
Interesting. I think if I was to make one, I think I'm getting to the point with Wellington where I would actually argue they are might be better off without Oscar Zavada. I might be sounding a bit crazy,
Whoa.
but I think so. The way they've played, they've not. Yes, obviously since Zavada's gone, they don't really have a natural number nine. Obviously, you have David Ball, who's somewhat of that, but we haven't. I don't think he's even scored a goal all season, so he isn't really that sort of out and out number nine. So we've seen Barbarouses sort of play as that false nine, or whatever. He sort of drifts out wide, he just drifts everywhere. They all sort of interchange, but I think that's been the biggest reason why Costa Barbarouses has had the season he's had. He's just had a lot more flexibility to move away if he wants, and that's where he's been playing the best. So yeah, I don't know, and I think especially with Zavada, apparently I think might be missing the rest of the season due to injury or some sort.
Possibly, yeah.
And firing, I see a world where yeah they move on from him and say, well, I don't know. I think they keep him around if they could, but he's obviously going to have demand. They are playing pretty damn well without him. I don't know. I think it's interesting, because he's an unbelievable player, but it might just be one of those things where they've just got so used to playing another style now with that very fluid front three that maybe they're just better off sort of not bringing him if he does hypothetically come back from injury. Maybe they're best just keeping him as a bench player, let's say, bring off the bench, offer something new to their game, because I don't know. I think they've been unbelievable without him, and adding someone who's quite like a rigid number nine, probably not someone that's as fluid as a Kreyev, Barbarouses, Ben Old, David Ball, these players that can move any position and play there. But yeah, I don't know. It might be a hot take, but I'm not saying Oscar Vidal is bad. I think he's arguably one of if not the best striker in the league when he's fit and firing, but I don't know. I think, yeah, maybe they've moved past that style.
Look, I think it's still a hot take. I think you've taken it out of the oven a little bit early. But no, like, at the end of the day, I think if I was Giancarlo Italiano and you asked me, would you rather start David Ball or Oscar Zavada? Like, I'm saying Zavada every single time,
I get
I
that,
know what
but
you mean,
just,
but here's the thing as well, though. Here's the thing as well about Zavada, which I noticed early on the season, is that when teams would press, and this happened really noticeably in a game against Brisbane early on the season where they like killed him 5-2. And basically Brisbane would jump and they would step every time. And because you've got basically a target man who's so good at bringing the ball down and getting everyone involved, you could really bypass the pressure a lot easier. We saw last night, even with Kowal a couple of times, I thought did a great job of actually, with his hold up play, which I think is really improving his element of his game. But I still think that's a weapon for them. And like, it's the other thing as well with Barbarouses, who, I was talking about him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, how great he's been. But are you going to get the same Barbarouses next season? I don't know. Like, is this just an anomaly and he's just having, like, he's just on one because, Zavada's out and he's got more responsibility. And maybe you're still going to need someone else to help carry the load next season, possibly. But yeah, the other thing with him is, dare I say, back home in Poland, there's highly likely there's a lot of interest to security services again. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're already looking at other options, what they can do. You know, their recruitment's been pretty good, so they're probably going to trust their scouting and what they can do in the market as well. But yeah, interesting take. I think you got to cook that one for a few more weeks, though. I wouldn't. Yeah.
All right, we'll give us your take then. I was just trying to think of something on the spot.
It's my take.
I've been thinking.
Well, I was going to ask you about Sydney FC, and I guess I could turn this into a take. Like, are Sydney FC on like an absolute freight train to winning the championship, and no one's really talking about it too much? Because, like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, man. Like, when you watch these guys at the moment, it's like it is just relentless. They do not give you any time to breathe. I talked about it on Monday about the distances when they press and how compact they are. How like you can't really play over them because you're always going to get caught offside because they're that compact. Like, it's like watching a Red Bull team. Like, that's that. It honestly, like, David Zrilic has gone in there and he said to Talle, like, listen, Koroga didn't listen to me, but Ufuk, like, this is what we're doing.
Trust me.
Like, if we play like this without the ball, we're going to smash teams. And guess what? That's what they're doing. So
it's worked. Yeah.
I don't know. I still had them when I did my power rankings on Monday. I still had them second behind Wellington. Because like you can't, at the end of the day, Wellington have still maintained their form with all these players out and stuff. But like, yeah, I do think the conversation of are Sydney FC a serious championship threat or maybe a dark horse really should be had, because I definitely think they are.
Yeah, I think the way they've played, it's, I think we're going through sort of which is whose teams, like dark horse, etc. Or what's the word? Like they're kryptonite. I don't know what the right word is.
I spoke about this on Monday.
I'd argue Sydney don't really have one. I don't know I feel like they've been able to really play against any team.
Well, Wellington gave them some issues recently.
They did but I've also for example, there's the other one where they beat them 3-1 pretty comprehensively, I believe it was, at home, and that was a very dominant performance. Wellington struggled to play out of the press, and I think especially I can see them continuing on that, but maybe they struggle to maintain that into finals. Who knows? Because this is a very intense sort of style of play. Maybe they get too tired of it. And, because obviously this is usually used for a league that doesn't have final series, etc. But I don't know. I probably would say Sydney are maybe the hottest team in the league right now. Who knows? I think we'll have to see how they sort of progress on the final couple of rounds. But funny, because, I tip them to win the league. But, obviously it's a very different side. A very different Sydney FC side that I tipped to ultimately win the league. So, yeah, I don't know. So somehow I've been proved to be a genius. I've no idea. I didn't even mean it, but yeah.
It doesn't count, because when you made that prediction, you backed the Steve Corica coach team. So not
a Steve Corica Sydney FC side. I don't know what I was cooking, but they just looked really good in the Oz Cup. They just fooled me, man.
All right, I'll give you a recap, because I don't know if you listened to it, but of my power rankings from Monday, and I kind of this is kind of divided in four groups. So basically, the first three: Knicks, Sydney, Mariners, and for me, that's the contenders group. That's the contenders group. Then I've got 4 and 5 is Victory MacArthur, and I've kind of got them in the if they're at their best group, and then 6 and 7. Is a group in itself, Wanderers and City, which is kind of still for me the even if they make finals doesn't matter group. So and then 8 to 12, Adelaide 8th, Brisbane 9th, Western 10th, Perth 11th, Jets 12th, which is the who cares group. So
at this point, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is there any order there that you disagree with? Any team you'd have higher, lower?
No. I think
you can disagree.
I would probably have the Roar higher than Adelaide. I don't know. I like Brisbane. I think it's too late that they'll make finals or anything, but I'd say they're the best out of that bunch. I don't know. I'm still not overly sold on Adelaide, but I guess with a firing Nestor Urenkunda, maybe they arguably are better right now. We've seen that last game.
I mean, it's a power ranking, so obviously it changes every week. So yeah.
100%. But no, I think that's a pretty fair assessment of sort of what we're seeing. I don't know. I argued to you earlier in the week. I do think Victory, maybe a little bit of a dark horse in that sense. I think they can make a late run. I don't know. I like their. I still think they're one of the best teams. Well, I don't know. I like their team. They've got a great team, and I think if everything's I think you said that You know, they're going to need a firing Bruno Fornaroli. He bags two goals. You know, like, they've got a really good team. It's just
But I also think that Azani needs to be trusted, like, week in, week out. To
and play
start,
on the left too. Play on the
like,
left.
play him
He
on the
is
left,
so
yeah.
much better on the left. Oh my
But, like,
God,
he's,
it's
come on, man.
unbelievable.
Like, Brimmer's not given the same sort of output. Maybe his mind's elsewhere. Who knows? And then, like, you don't have, he's their creator. That's what I spoke about on Monday. Alzani's the guy who's actually making things happen for them, you know? So for me, you got to lean into him, and, you know, he'll give you maybe a game where it's not going to be so good, but more often than not, he's going to be creating and he's going to be doing stuff. So, yeah. Do you think Meshash needs to increase his input when we talk about, or output, when we talk about goals and.
He had a stronger start to the season. His maybe, I don't know, he just seems like one of those players that if he's up for it, he's up for it. Like we've seen in the games against Sydney FC, especially the big sort of rivalry games, he's really stepped up. Maybe he's one of those players that, I don't know, in the sort of mid-season games that are more irrelevant, I guess you can call them, he just maybe isn't as fired up. I don't know. Because there's a lot of players like that just, really struggle to get themselves G'd up for every single
Well,
game. But
maybe as well, now that he signed that new contract, maybe his
yeah,
head's going to
that
be a bit
too, yeah.
more, you know, switched on the pitch, and he'll be a bit more comfortable. Yeah, you know, there's that obviously happens with players too. So, all right, last thing I wanted to throw at you. I'm not sure if you saw it, but Morgan Schneidlin did an interview with FTBL the other day, and he it was interesting. He spoke about some stuff from his time with the Wanderers, and kind of it almost felt like a propaganda interview of, hey, A-League Club X, come and approach me. I'm available. And I know, well, we knew that West United were definitely interested before the season. Who, by the way, if they signed him in the offseason, if you're getting the Morgan Schneiderlin of what we saw last season with the Wanderers, that's a fantastic signing for West United, because, like, we've seen with Thurgate, Lustica, whoever's really played in those six roles in this season, it just hasn't worked out. So they really do need a proper six. So, you know, there you go. That could definitely be an option. But he also had this quote about Rudan, which I thought was just hilarious. And you know what I'm like, I always have to have, like, some kind of Rudan element to the podcast.
Yes.
This was it. So he's someone who can't hide his emotions. Maybe sometimes he needs to keep that just for the changing room. When he's happy, he's over happy, and he's angry, he's over angry. Sometimes that can play against him. We keep in touch, and he's an honest, open guy. We had a good relationship. So basically, Morgan Schneiderlin just came out and said that Marco Rudan has insane mood swings, that people can't predict. To be honest, though, we
What a
probably could.
surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise. We probably could have predicted that anyway. So yeah, you should have seen him. I'm not sure if you saw his press conference after the MacArthur game.
No.
Yeah, but, you know, like, he's all G'd up again. Like, you know, he's
Yeah.
got his couple wins under his bag. So, man, rooting every week to the media. It's like a, it should, yeah, I might have to make it a segment on its own, like maybe every Wednesday or something like that. What's
Marco Rudan this week.
Marco moments, maybe something like that. But
That's just free content, yes,
yeah,
Adam.
Schneiderlin back to the A League. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think if it was the season on from what he had from Western Sydney, we already saw what he's on. Yes, definitely. I think that would have been absolutely perfect for Western United. They don't lack an out and out number six. Obviously, they've sort of mainly played with Pasquale and Thurgate as that pivot, which I think they're two, relatively similar players. They don't have someone that can just sort of sit back and screen the defense. So he'd be perfect. But yeah, obviously, it's been a year on now. I think he's in his mid-30s now. I guess there's not necessarily a guarantee in how he can adjust, but I don't know. Because I'm thinking there's other players like Reece Bosanowski. He's a young defensive midfielder I really like for West
Yep.
United. Maybe you would prefer, give a younger player a chance, because, at this point, I think he just kind of encapsulates that thing that we say where it's like, okay, we're just bringing these, mid-30 visa players that are kind of washed up now. Yeah, they've had good careers, but I don't know. Maybe it's better off, especially for Western United, a team that, I don't know if they're obviously they've won the league before, but we're probably not going to expect them to do that for at least a little while. Maybe just prioritize some young players. We've seen a lot of young players come through.
You love their young players.
I wrote a whole bloody article on it. Like the academy setup's actually really promising and really good. So I don't know. I'd prefer to maybe see some of those younger guys given a chance. But at the same time, I guess someone with Schneidlin's reputation, his CV, maybe it's one you just can't turn
Well,
down if
the
he
thing in
doesn't
this
again.
case is it would be different to, like, the situation we've seen, like, with Jason Bathomia at Newcastle, who most people, when I say that, would probably go who because he hasn't
Play
played
like
all
two
season.
games.
But it's different where Schneiderlin's come; he'd be coming back, but like he knows what a preseason's like. He knows the conditions and stuff, so he can kind of get himself a bit more ready for that. As opposed to foreigner X who has no idea about Australia and then gets here and he's underdone after 2 months and basically season's over. So yeah, looking at you, Jason Bathomia. So yeah, that would be the positive in that regard. All right, Jake, anything else you wanted to mention, plug, talk about before we go?
Soon enough, I should have a little article sort of partnered with Mizuno. I was able to interview all sorts of players, which was, unbelievable experience. Like, it's a really interesting write-up. Anyone that's sort of noticed what's been sort of cooking on, what's been going on with the league, a lot of the best players have started wearing Mizuno. Tolgay Arslan's one. So yeah, that should be coming out relatively soon, and maybe a couple of other small things around that. So yeah, keep your eyes and your ears tuned, I guess, for that. That should be, maybe in the next week or two. We'll see.
And just to echo Jake's comments, frontpagefootball.net, make sure you're checking out all the content. We've had a couple of articles go up this week. One today on Melbourne City's off season, which I think would be very interesting
Good
to
read.
read given their result last night. Um,
Yes.
and then we had an interview recently with Oliver Kellart, who is actually a Melburnian at heart, Australian born, and he recently made his debut for Sri Lanka, kind of similar to Jack Hingett, who also represented Sri Lanka, so might be interested in a story like that. So yeah, and we got more stuff coming as well. Social media, make sure you check us out: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, LinkedIn. Front Page Football is where it's at, and Spotify here. Chuck us a follow, chuck us a comment. Do you agree with Jake's insanely hot take about Oscar Zapata? Do you agree that Sydney FC should be taken more seriously as a dark horse for the championship? Let us know. And yeah, or if you're on Apple Podcasts, also chuck us a follow, comment, whatever on there too. All right, Jake, top work. And I will see you when I see you, I guess.
Yep. That's
Yeah. Okay, that's
it.
it. Looking forward to the A-League action on the weekend. We got a Melbourne derby. We got a fucking massive top of the table clash. This is
It's
like
gonna be a great week.
Saturday's gonna be like, do not disturb me. Get out of my way. I'm sitting down. I'm analyzing every single ball that is kicked over these couple games. So yeah. All right, Jake. Pot work. I've got to go. I'll be back on Friday. We've got a special team kind of deep dive planned for this Friday. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, I've been your host, Christian Marchetti. And until next time, it's bye for now.